My text is in the book of Psalms, the 90th Psalm, and a phrase in verse 9. Psalm 90, verse 9. We spend our years as a tale that is told. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I'm sure that as I read this psalm at the beginning, that you with me felt very moved at many of the words that were written there. They are very remarkable words. They make you think of life. They make you think of death. They also put time in its setting of eternity. They make you think of the brevity and the smallness a man's life and his existence, and something of the immensity and the greatness of our God. And as we come together here on a Sabbath evening, the wonder or the privilege of being allowed to worship God in his house. It's a kind of psalm. It talks about eternity. It talks about time. And somehow seems to bring them together. The stability of God is there, and the frailty of man is there as well. Listen to some of these words again. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Consider that alone with me. See how the psalmist here is thinking of God. And he says, I look at a mountain and I feel so small. And I think, you made that mountain. God himself made that mountain. You were, thou wert, before it was formed. Then he goes a little further and says, well, a mountain after all is only a mountain. But before the earth came, before the world, thou art from everlasting to everlasting. And then he comes to the center of it all. Thou art God. So he begins there with something of the majesty and the sovereign power and activity of our great God. And then you think of this little planet that the psalmist there has been describing, the rise and fall of empires, the coming and the goings of ideologies, all these things. And men will rise and imagine that the destiny of a nation is in their hands. And so they think, without realizing that before long that their names will be forgotten. And time will continue and still continue under the control of our great God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. He said, begin to think. You and I may think and be fearful of what the future may hold. Look back, look forward, look to the present, look in any direction. And in any given time you will see a mighty name of a mighty empire. And all other countries tremble at the thought of the power of that place. But think big. Think on another scale altogether and another dimension. 1,000 years. What's 1,000 years? It's very difficult to imagine it. I can think of a day, I can think of a week, I can think of a 12 months, yes, 5 years. 10 years is difficult to contain in our minds. 100 years, it sounds a long time. 1,000 years. Think of the difference in 1,000 years in the history that we have recorded. Well, I don't know what kind of things they used in wars 1,000 years ago, but I imagine it's on the line of bows and arrows. And now, nuclear weapons. 1,000 years. We might say, what a great number of things have happened. How many history books have been written with events and interpretations, blaming this for that, blaming another king, blaming another, whatever it may be. All those events in 1,000 years. And for God, for 1,000 years in thy sight, but as yesterday. What do you mean by that? as something that's gone. Just as a shadow of a thing. And time to him is in the palm of his eternal hands. 1,000 years are but as yesterday. One hymn writer puts it like this: change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Are you understanding me? Are we understanding this psalm? It's a glimpse from time into the eternal mind of God. It's a glimpse from the experience and the events of our lives to the great span of it all. And all that time contained as a speck in eternity, and that in the hand of God. Thou art God. That's the psalm. Let us put ourselves now in that setting. Let us get the right perspective. This is where we are tonight. In time, in a speck in time. Time itself a speck in eternity. And eternity in the palms of God. And yet somehow, from this little speck of time and place, we are able to say, thou art God. It's a great thing. We are able to say that. Thou art God. Let's come now to the text that I have. We spend our years as a tale that is told. First thing I'd like to bring to you is this: a story that is told. It examines life. Let us come now from the great view of the immensity of our God and his power to ourselves. And he says, what is your life like? It is like a story. It's like a tale that is told. As if you're telling a story to a little child before he goes to sleep at night. And then he says, is that the end of it? It's finished now, you go to sleep. Well, it finished ever so quickly. But that's the story for tonight, and that's the end of it. We spend our lives like a tale that is told. Some tonight might feel and are very young. Some might feel and are not so young, but may feel young. And some may both feel and are not young, whatever we may be. Yet all our lives are like a tale that is told. And so that we hold now the span of our living in this palm of eternity, in the palm of the hands of God. What are our lives like? Think of the activities in any single life, of our joys and our worries, our hopes and our fears, what we intend to do with our lives and the impression that we are going to make, the arguments that we will be able to achieve and fulfill and convince people, things that we will do and how we shall be remembered, and all those things. And what is this Bible saying all the time? Remember thou art man. Remember thou art dust. Remember that thy life is like a tale that is told. Just remember that your life in time is as a speck in eternity. And yet there is such a thing as time. And for a child, time is a torturous thing. We can remember when we were children, as I used to wonder why Christmas had only got to come once a year. Now I'm glad it's once a year. But I used to think, well, why had it got to be so far apart? Why couldn't we really be happy people and have Christmas every day or every week? I was only thinking, as you can imagine, of one thing only. Not what Christmas meant, but only of the presents and the enjoyment. But it comes once a year. But doesn't it come quickly now? Not for the children here. I know you feel it's a long way off until Christmas. And each day and each week seems torturously long. But for us who are older, hardly seems any time since it was last Christmas. It won't be any time hardly at all before the next will be upon us. It comes ever so quickly, ever so quickly. And sometimes we pause and we reminisce. And we think of our lives, not as children now, but as men. And we begin to think how we have been driven by interest in our lives. We can look back and say, and think of a time when something quite inferior meant everything to us. We gave all the energy of our mind and all our thinking to some hobby or some interest, or harmless enough in itself, but we lived for it. And then we lost interest in it. Then something else came along and we lived for that. And if we are making any advance at all, we begin to realize that in a way it's like a childish thing, that we are driven by that thing. And we are beginning to grow up. And we're beginning to understand what time is like in the hands of God. Look what he says in verse 5 about time or days. Thou carriest them, days, away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. There are many comparisons there. I'll just go through them quickly with me in this way now. Our yesterdays, our days, what are they like? They are carried with a flood. Have you ever thought in this way now? If you ever perhaps have done a course, I mean a college course or some kind of course, or spent a number of years in another place, and maybe you were there 2 or 3 or 4 years. And when you were there, each day was full of its events, its worries, its hopes, its anxieties, excitement. Everything seemed that you could say, I'm alive now, and I'm aware of these things. And yet when you look back upon that time, those 3 or 4 years, it seems as if they'd all been squashed into one day. And you can't sort out one Saturday or one Sunday from another. You can remember particular events, maybe. And yet it seems as if they'd all been jumbled together. What's happened? Here it is. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. As if we were making sandcastles on the seashore, and we made a number of them. Then suddenly a wave comes, and they're all carried away. And we can't remember how many we made or where they stood. They are carried away as with a flood. That's one description. Another is this. Things that once were wild alarms. What does it say here? They are as asleep. Did I really go through that? Did I really work that hard? Did I really make that effort? Did I really go through that? Did I go through that sorrow? Did I have that joy? Now as the years go by, we look back and we say, it seems, yes, it happened, but it seems as a dream, as if it had never been. A flood carried by yesterday's, and as if in a way it could have been asleep, it could have been a waking thing, and I hardly know which it is. Or another comparison, grass. Here it is, it grows. It groweth in the morning, it flourisheth and it groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and it withereth. What's he saying? He's describing time. He's describing our place in time. He's describing our lives. We spend our years as a tale that is told. However old we may be when we die, some people live to be a great age. And sometimes we have on the radio, on the television, you have an interview with a person and they have this kind of conversation. Well, how old are you today? I'm 103. I'm proud of it. And I'm hoping to make it 104. And I can remember one rather fascinating article by a lady who was writing a book, My First 100 Years, implying that she's going to live her second 100 years, I don't know. But anyway, I felt it was an interesting title. And they ask, what is your secret? And get all sorts of secrets. Some say, ah, well, I've had my regular pint of beer and it's kept me going. And another will say, I lived a clean and a healthy life. And another will say something else. But never have I heard them say, it was by God's mercy that I lived this long. Never have I heard them say that. There are some that say that. Never have I heard those who have been interviewed saying that. What has the Bible to say about the length of our lives? The days of our years are 70 years. 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Some make the 70. Some make the 80. Some make a little more. But it's getting a time even then when they begin to be weary and life becomes a labor and a sorrow and the heaviness of living comes upon them. Then it is soon cut off. It looked as if they were going on forever. He is keeping his age well. He seems as if he's going to go on and on. You're not. Soon cut off. And we fly away. What flies away? Our immortal souls. Our soul that is incapable of dying. That our soul that cannot die, that it leaves this frail tabernacle of the flesh that it remains in for a while, and it flies away, and our life is like a tale that is told, full stop, and that's the end. That's one thing. Here's another. A story that is traced. One thing I used to hate in school, I hated a lot of things in school, but one thing I used to particularly hate was after we'd had an examination and before the results came out. Now, I'm not blaming you teachers for doing this now, but I used to hate it. A post-mortem, especially in mathematics, and where the teacher would go through every sum and display how it should be done and what the answer was. It's one thing to half know that you got them all wrong. It's another thing to be absolutely positive that you've no hope. A kind of a post-mortem, a terrible thing. You might say, I'd like to put after the examination, full stop. The tale is told. The tale is not told. A story that is traced. What I put on that paper. What is there? So now a story that is traced. And see here in the scriptures that we have before us. You see, we do live and we did live. We have said things. We have done things. The words that you and I may remember, some of them, all of them are remembered. The actions that you and I only choose to remember, they are all remembered in the infallible knowledge and the memory of our God. And there we stand exposed. They need not be recorded in any sequence. They are all there at the same time. And there I stand before God. And there my examination paper, if you like, the story that is told now is a story that is traced and exposed before the eyes of God. Look at it in this way. Let me give you an illustration. Think of painting. Oil painting, if you like, or a watercolor, whatever type of painting that you would prefer. And that's the story of your life. And now you bring it before God. And listen to these verses with that illustration. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Here am I. There is God, and there's my life, my story. What does he do? He sets my life, which is as a tale that is told, before me. And he tells me, look. And so I look. But how do I look? He shows me my life, not as I estimate my life, but he shows me my life in the light of his countenance. What does that mean? Here we come to the attributes of God and the doctrinal teaching of God. Now, the crown of his attributes, they are many and they are perfect, we know. But the crown of his attributes is his holiness, his righteousness, his purity, the integrity of God's holiness. And so now, as if we stood trembling there, and he takes the picture of our life and he holds it to the light of God's purity. And it's seen for what it is. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Lord, look at me in the shadows. Lord, look at me in the darkness. Lord, look at me in my little light. But he looks at us in the light of his countenance, in the purity of his eyes, in the honesty and the cleanness of his heart. That is where we are placed. And the story that is told becomes a story that is traced. We might say, well, Lord, what have you got to say about the effort of my life? Look at verses 9 and 11 with me. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Man cannot imagine what the anger of God is. The holy and the righteous indignation of a holy act. God, as he reacts against that which is sinful and that which is evil. So then he tells us this in verse 12. Now, before the story is finished, now, before the tale is told, look at it. So, teach us to count. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What are you saying? We are thinking, intelligent beings. We have a moral sense. We understand responsibility. We have some idea of right and wrong. These things we have. What is he doing? He is saying, number your days. Count your days. Face the reality of death. Face the reality of a God. Face the reality of a God whose countenance is pure and before whom you have to stand. So teach us to number our days. Lastly, a story that is true. One life we have, just one. What have you made of it so far? How are you getting on? As a Christian, what are you like? If you're not the Lord's, how are you getting on? What do you hope to be? When this tale is told, where do you hope to be? What are your hopes for then? It will soon pass. Then what? One life. And the miracle is this, that at a time in the tale that is told, there can be an intervention, a divine visitation. It can happen in so many ways. And always God is behind it. Are you willing for it to happen to you? Are you willing that God might put his finger on you now? That the story of your life might be a beautiful story? That the picture or the portrait of your life and the canvas that will be in the light of his countenance will be a beautiful thing? And that you'll be able to stand there without trembling and without fear and the smile of God's grace upon you. What a wonderful thing. However can this be? Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. As he's saying, be sorry for us, Lord. The psalmist here now is appealing and saying, I'm beginning to understand. You show me something or a glimpse of the eternal God. You show me something of the brevity of the life of and fall of a nation or an empire, of a people of an age or a century or 1,000 years, and little me in a spot and a speck of time. Lord, in thy great heaven and eternal place, listen to me in this little place in time and be sorry for me and have pity upon me and stir something in me. And the psalm now is as if now the man here, the psalmist David, is calling out to the eternal God whose heart is already inclined and is speaking to him in any case. What's he asking for? Listen to the verses. Verse 14, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Don't let me waste my life. Satisfy me early. Let me have an experience of the grace of God early in my life. Change me now, Lord, before I become so corrupt that I would feel that I could never, ever call upon thee. Lord, satisfy me early. Come to me now. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Why is he saying this? He's beginning to understand. I may not have a tomorrow. We are so sure of our life today, we think we are certain of tomorrow. Satisfy me early. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days which thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Evil in my heart, evil in my mind. Can a miracle happen to me, O Lord? Eternity is in the Son. Time is in the Son. I'm going to use a hymn now. It's a hymn I wish we had in our hymn book. It was in the other hymn book. Do you remember this one? Today. Today, thy mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been. Somebody feel terrible here tonight? So dirty, so filthy. Don't despair. Listen. Today, thy mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been. However long from mercy. Are you 70 and you haven't come yet? However long from mercy, we may have turned away, coming here Sabbath after Sabbath and listening to it all and turning away. However long from mercy we may have turned away, thy blood, O Christ, can cleanse us and make us white. Today. Today. Now, what does he do? Jesus Christ died on Calvary. He died as a punishment. A punishment for sin. Not his, ours. And when we believe, and when we receive him, we are no longer punished for our sin. We are forgiven. And he's calling now. Today, thy mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long we have delayed, whatever excuses we have made, there is a door open and there is a way of mercy. Go through it. And you enter even now from time into eternity, although you still will live in time. You'll find that he has planted eternity in your heart. You'll find that as you come to him and your sins are forgiven, it's as if eyes were opened deep in your heart. As if new ears were listening and new sounds come in the hymns that we sing. And the very word of God becomes a living thing. And when men fret and panic about the international situation and the ups and downs of the trade gap and all these things, that although we too are concerned, we know that these are passing things. That we know that we belong to a kingdom that is always the same. To a king who never changes. To a love that never fails. To a mercy that never falters. Look at the end of the psalm. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Do you know what happens when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? And when he comes and is conscious of his iniquity and his sin, and he realizes that in that day they will be held in the light of God's countenance, and he realizes that that can be a wonderful experience rather than a horrific one, that if he will be washed and cleansed and forgiven, in that day we'll be able to say, this is my story, this is my song. What is that? It's a hymn that we know. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Why? Something happened to me. The story changed. It may be in chapter 2 or chapter 3 or chapter 4. It may have been in the final chapter. But thank God for his mercy when the story changes. And there is a different picture traced on your life. and he looks on you as found in him. Listen to the hymn. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Saviour am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song. We spend our years as a tale that is told. That's at the end. The story is traced by God and held in the light of his countenance. But in his mercy, there is another true story that entered from eternity into time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who makes a story new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Then we do not fear, whether it is 60 or 70 or 80 or 90. Why? Because you see, as those little aeroplanes fly and they break, what barrier is it? The sound barrier, I think. We've broken the time barrier the day you believed. Did you know that? There might not have been a bang down here, but there is a hallelujah up there when the time barrier has been broken. And a soul enters now into eternity so that he is able to say at the day of his death, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Come to him. Gaze upon him. Receive him. Embrace him. And ask him for pardon. And he will not in any wise cast out those who come unto him. Let us pray. O Lord, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and ask thee to help us, help some to believe tonight, that they might see the wonder of it all. Grant this perfect submission. Grant these visions of rapture bursting on our sight for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.